Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by Packers News and JS Online. I am Ryan Wood alongside my colleague and partner, Tom Silverstein. We are sitting inside, what is this, almost like a luxury box inside Soldier Field. Lights are off, but it provides a very nice view of the Chicago downtown skyline over Soldier Field, formerly owned by the Chicago Bears, but as Aaron Rodgers made very clear today, no longer. He owns this building.
Yeah, 10-3 on this field in his career. And he's, you know, the last time the Bears won a playoff game was in 2010. And then Rodgers came in and beat him in the NFC Championship game. So they just can't get past him. He's just been, you know, and along with Favre, they've just been a big albatross around Chicago's neck. And that's why they keep drafting quarterbacks, hoping they can find a guy who can match with Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. It's pretty problematic if you're the Chicago Bears. You know, I almost get the sense that from the Packers standpoint, fifth straight win today, they're 5-1. They've put the debacle of the opener well in the rearview mirror. This is just keep on trucking on to Washington. Like, this is just any other week at this point for them. They beat the Bears, and yeah, it's a rivalry, but they do what they always do, and that's beat the Bears. For Chicago, it's a lot more significant today. It's another reminder that you can trade up and get the 11th overall pick, and hey, maybe Justin Fields has a bright future in this league. He's just a rookie. This is just his first game against the Packers. But it's another reminder of what has been a decades-long problem if you're the Chicago Bears, and that is that the quarterback play is just a massive gap between what the Packers have had with Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and everything else. Justin Fields is just the latest addition of quarterback play that's not good enough to compete in this rivalry.
Well, what's interesting is that Rodgers hasn't, especially under LaFleur, hasn't had to put up monster numbers. All he's had to do is get them in the end zone when it counts. And that's what was the difference today. You know, they had a chance. The Bears got within 3 points. And, you know, if they force a 3-and-out, they got a chance to tie it up, maybe even win it. But Rodgers marches down, finds Davante Adams for 41 yards, and then he finishes off the drive with a play that I'm sure Chicago wasn't expecting. He ran, you know, he dodged all kinds of guys and then ran for the pylon and scored, which led to his I still own you, which was...
And a little expletive.
Yeah, yeah. So That's the difference. All the time he tips the scale on, you know, who's going to win. And that's how the Packers are kind of winning now, is they're tipping the scale a little bit with Rodgers and just playing probably what you would say is steady but mediocre football. You know, not great football, but they're winning.
There's a reason why they haven't needed to have astronomical numbers from Aaron Rodgers. And that's because, and I wrote about this today, the backbone of this offense is that running game and that two-headed backfield between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Both guys have a run today of more than 25 yards. You've seen now 3 straight games where they've had over 20 carries combined for at least 129 yards. They went for 135 today on the ground.
Against a really good run defense.
With a makeshift offensive line. Mm-hmm. And you've also seen the versatility with both of those guys, because last week in Cincinnati, it's A.J. Dillon catching a touchdown, a 12-yard touchdown. That's right. This week in Chicago, it's Aaron Jones catching a 12-yard touchdown. His fourth catching touchdown this season, already in 6 games, sets a career high. He's only gotten into the end zone twice on the ground, but 4 catching touchdowns. This is the backbone of this Packers offense, is those two guys and 2 points. The fact that it's been like this and it hasn't even gotten cold yet, that's a good sign. And the fact that this offensive line is about to get much, much healthier when David Bakhtiari returns. Aaron Rodgers mentioned it in the postgame today. He looks like he's going to be practicing, activated from the PUP this coming week. Doesn't mean he's going to play against Washington, but in the next few weeks, David Bakhtiari should be back at left tackle. Elgton Jenkins should be back at left guard. That's very possibly the best left side of an offensive line in the NFL. And you're seeing this type of running game for 3 straight weeks now without that. That's a very good sign.
Well, here's the thing about the offensive line is that Josh Myers goes out and Lucas Patrick comes in and plays. And Josh Myers, I'll bet you he's out for a while. LaFleur said it's not season ending, but he sure was limping around and, you know, he might have tore his MCL or something like that. But because they've been playing John Runyon at left guard and they've been playing Royce Newman at right guard and they've been playing Patrick, they have options. Elgton Jenkins could slide to center and they could just go like that and go with Runyon.
How about that idea?
Yeah, or if they feel like Jenkins is better at left guard, and then they can put Patrick in at center. The thing is you have to keep developing guys, and that's what Stanovich and Butkus do really well. Not to mention game plan, I guess, and yeah. run the offense. They better find a way to keep Stanovich next year, because this guy's going to be an offensive coordinator pretty quick.
He looks like a rising star right now. And what you're mentioning as far as game planning, the flip shovel to Alan Lazard, Matt LaFleur said that was was it Matt LaFleur or Aaron Rodgers?
I think Rodgers said
Aaron Rodgers said that was an Adam Stanovich play call, that he designed it. And Aaron Jones said after the game, and I've been trying to rack my brain. I've had a few other things in my mind about this game, but Aaron Jones said after the game is the first time since he's been here that they've done that shovel pass on the goal line.
That seems unlikely.
I feel like they might have done that with Jay Sternberger once, maybe, if I'm remembering that right. But it's rare. At the very least, it's a very rare play.
It was a good design because they faked the handoff first, and then they drew, you know, Robert Quinn right to Rodgers, and then he flips it right to Lazard. But, you know, they also, as you wrote about, switched up their run scheme in the middle of the game. And that changed everything.
Yeah. No, they went from outside zone to inside zone, and it's an adaptability thing, and it's also another sign of their versatility, because you've got two guys that can run outside zone, and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, but that 36-yard run that A.J. Dillon had on the inside zone play, I don't know if I've seen in person a big back like that make a cut like that. And it didn't – I've seen the replay on video. It didn't translate the way that it did live. Live, it looked like he was full speed, full bore, going one direction, and then boom, on a dime with the other direction. It was a really impressive cut, kind of just drastic cut that he made. You don't see 250-pound running backs do that. So they've got guys that can run the scheme inside and out.
Varied it, too. They ran some man scheme where they were pulling guards. They were doing power. They were doing misdirection. They really did a nice job of pulling guys like Runyon and Newman, and then using the tight ends to cut off pursuit. It was pretty impressive. If you watch it closely, some of the blocking was really impressive.
I think this is going to continue as teams continue to try to take Davante Adams out of the game. Now, Davante Adams had still four catches for 89 yards, and when they needed a big play, he was there for the 41-yarder on the final drive. But the Bears did a pretty good job, better job than most on Davante Adams. He didn't go off by any means. Anytime at this point, it's like the Baltimore Ravens running game. If you can keep the Baltimore Ravens under 100 yards rushing, you've done something. If you can keep Davante Adams under 100 yards receiving, you've done something in this league. They did that. I think that you're going to continue to see that at some point. If this running game continues the way it is, it'll be interesting to see how long, if ever, they're able to run defenses out of this kind of coverage and really respect the run game, because when you're going for $130 every week like they've done for three straight weeks now, that's pretty impressive.
I felt like the Packers tried to get other guys involved today. I think it seemed like Alan Lazard was actually part of the game plan, and they had designed some plays for him. And Equanimeous St. Brown, he really liked that play. It was clear he was going to St. Brown.
Was that an OPI?
I don't know what pass interference is. You know, it all depends on what the angle of the official is. You know, it's calls go both ways, so I don't know. But anyway, it was an impressive, you know, it was a way to get him involved. They tried to get Tanyan involved. They threw down the field to Tanyan. So I kind of felt like they tried to spread things out a little more and take advantage of some of the other guys.
You mentioned Josh Myers and that he might be out for a little while now. On the other side, I kind of wonder, look, you got a Packers defense that has been depleted going into today's game. No Jaire Alexander on IR. No Za'Darius Smith on IR. And now you got Preston Smith with an oblique. And obliques are not good injuries to have. I mean, it's not like baseball where it can shut you down for like half a season. But obliques are not good injuries to have. They can linger. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how long Preston Smith misses. And if that's the case, you got the two Smiths. You're really getting depleted when it comes to that edge rush.
Yeah, and I think I don't know what to think of Preston Smith because he stayed on the sideline the whole time in his pads. It wasn't like they took him into the locker room. You know, I wonder if they just decided let's play it safe and not use him a lot. So I don't know. It was. You know, they can't afford to lose him, even though Jonathan Garvin played a pretty good game. And Gary, I thought, was solid. They're losing depth everywhere. And, I mean, it's a good thing they have depth, but now they're getting really paper thin at corner.
Well, that's the point, is that you're missing the top of your roster, which is problematic for any team, with Jaire Alexander and Za'Darius Smith. But then, behind Jaire Alexander, you've got Kevin King. Mm-hmm. And you saw today, Jaire Alexander's out of the stratosphere. That's his level. Kevin King is clearly the second best corner on this team. There is a clear gap between him and everyone else. They insert Isaac Yiadom, and he gets the DPI in the end zone, and he doesn't play again. Rasul Douglas comes on. And Rasul Douglas did an okay job. But
yeah, he did a better job than Yiadom did.
But they need Kevin King back. And Packers fans today kind of got a glimpse that when I say that Kevin King's not a bad corner, he's not a bad corner. He's not a great corner. He's not a bad corner.
He's a starting corner in the NFL. I mean, you probably are not a great secondary if he has to be one of your outside guys. But he can be a starter. And Packers thought enough of him to still play him in the slot. So, yeah, they miss him. They need him back next week in the worst way.
I thought that the Packers defense did today against Justin Fields what you're supposed to do against a rookie quarterback. It's going to be really interesting coming up when, 2 weeks from now, they've got Kyler Murray. The week after that, Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
In December, they've got Lamar Jackson. To me, that's going to be the real litmus test of what this defense is. What do you make of the state of the defense right now? Because on one hand, if you would have told me after week one that it would be as well as what we've seen, I don't think I'd believe you. I thought that they had some serious problems week one. If you tell me that they'd have the injuries that they had too, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd believe that they'd do this well. On the other hand, I don't know what to make of it right now because, of course, they're making Justin Fields look bad. He doesn't need any help there.
Yeah, I think what they did today was minimized the damage that he could do. They were willing to give up some stuff in order to make sure he didn't beat him deep and he didn't run all over the place. You know, they rushed four, but they kept their guys wide. They wanted to contain him. And I thought they did a really good job of that. The part that just remains to me absolute mystery is how they keep blowing coverages in the red zone. You know, this time they let Darnell Mooney run right across them. And my guess is that Chris Barnes either was in the right place and someone else was supposed to be covering him because he was covering the middle of the field and you don't want to throw it. You know, you need to have that covered. But who's picking up a guy crossing it? It just is beyond me. And then they got lucky when Amos and was it Douglas? Yeah, Douglas and Amos both went for the same guy, and Allen Robinson was so wide open down the field, and Fields missed him.
And because Kenny Clark was kind of in Justin Fields' face on that play, right? And didn't allow him to see downfield. You know, they also got lucky because Justin Fields had a couple just jump balls to the end zone. The one that he thought he had the free play and Darnell Savage picked off. And I thought it was interesting. Aaron Rodgers was asked from his perspective, because he's so good at free plays,
yeah,
after the game. And he said, you always got to sneak a peek to make sure that that flag is on the field. It was very much like, if you're watching that play live, my first thought was, well, Justin Fields, for a rookie, he's heady enough to know that you take a shot here. Because everyone in the building thought that it was an offside on Kenny Clark, including Kenny Clark. But there was no penalty. There was no penalty flag. You got to make sure that the flag is there to know that you have the free play. That's a learning moment in his progression. And then what he was doing, not throwing the ball completely out of the end zone on the opposite end. And Adrian Amos was inches away from having his third Soldier Field interception Packer safety.
Really close.
They took advantage of just some, you know, obviously that one was not called a pick, but some real questionable moments for the rookie.
Yeah, he made some, I mean, I think those are learning moments. And, you know, the thing about getting guys when they're offsides, when you're a rookie, or when you're a veteran like Rodgers, then, okay, you'll take your chances. But as a rookie, then just throw it to a guy who you think is open. But don't just heave it down there and hope for a jump ball or something like that. So, well, lesson learned for him. You know, I don't think that was a reason they lost, but it was. They were starting to move the ball a little bit.
You know, you look at it from the macro level. The Bears had their injuries today, too. The difference, it was still, like, if you take Aaron Rodgers out of this game, if he's one of the injured guys, because goodness knows the Packers have plenty of injuries, they still have the depth in the backfield. There's more depth across the roster that can withstand some injuries that the Bears just don't have.
Yeah, I mean, that's everything that the Packers have going for them. They're down their stars. There's two of their stars are out, and three of their stars are out, and four when Jenkins was out. So how do you survive that? Well, you have, you know, by the sum of your parts, and the sum of their parts is pretty good. You know, they built a really solid roster. They can't suffer any more cornerback injuries. I mean, no team could. That's, you know, you're lucky if you have three corners, and they're down to about, what, five? They're fifth, maybe? And, you know, they're not playing their rookie, Jean-Charles, much. I don't know. They just better hope King gets back soon.
Corbin Hoquez, is he a star?
I don't know about a star, but he's
82-yard punt?
Heck of a punt, you know. He would have been a star if he could have kept that out of the end zone. If he'd have landed it on the one, then I might have put my all-pro vote in for him.
How dare he only have a 62-yard net on the play?
I know.
From the opposite 18? All right, I got to ask you, because you go way – I've never seen a punt like that. Certainly not from the Packers. Have you ever seen a Packers – to your recollection, a Packers punt like that, 82 yards?
I doubt it. I don't think I've ever seen an 82-yarder. I'd have to go back in the books and look. I know that when I covered Craig Hendrick, he had a monster leg, and John Ryan had a big leg. I don't know what their longs were, but he also, I looked at the flags when all of a sudden the wind picked up and was blowing in that direction, and he just caught a cross current or something, or a current, because that thing just kept going and going and going and going, and even the returner, like, gave up on it because he didn't think he could kick it that far.
It was really funny to watch the returner on the plane. I don't know who was back deep for the Bears, but to watch him, like, you know, ready yourself and set yourself the way that punt returners do, like they're going to, you know, field a punt, and then just, like his whole body just, like, went at ease. He's like, nope, it's not, nope, that I'm not getting to that. Yeah. It just sails over his head. And the realization of that.
It reminded me of, like, a home run in the Rocky Stadium, you know, where it just, you know, it looks like a fly ball, and then the next thing you know, it's, like, out of the park. So it was impressive.
Corey Bohork was very much looked like he was punting with altitude today, for sure. And, you know, there was a couple touchy moments with the kickoff coverage today, but Mason Crosby got back on track. Rebounded. 39-yard field goal.
Yep.
No adventures there in the field goal game. So, I think it's going to be really impressive to see, or really interesting to see where Corey Bohorquez ends up this season, because he's putting together some pretty good highlights for a punter.
Yeah, their special teams has got some work to do on coverage and everything, but that, it's got to improve, just like their defense has got to improve. I thought they could have been better on defense. Given the corner situation, I guess, there's not much more you can do. You've got to kind of cut your scheme back. I don't think you blitz a lot with those corners. I don't think I want to make a judgment about them on this game, other than the red zone play. I don't understand why that keeps happening. What, their rules, how they're changing and why they're not simplifying them. But I wouldn't give up on the defense. I still think that it's playing good enough to win games like this.
And that's where I'm kind of at myself, is what kind of judgments can be made. Because on one hand, they haven't beaten the cream of the crop in the NFL yet.
No.
The Detroit Lions, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cincinnati Bengals was a decent win. But,
was a good win.
That's on the road. The 49ers is not a bad win, especially on the road. But it's not beating the cream of the crop. The Bears, obviously. Matt LaFleur came in today and said that that's a playoff caliber Bears team. Do you buy that? That's a playoff caliber Bears team?
Well, they made the playoffs last year. I didn't think they were a playoff caliber team, and they made it last year. Maybe with the extra wild cards, they're a playoff team. I just think you have a defense that is pretty good like that. You got a chance. You got a chance. And this division is so bad. They could pick up, wins against two wins. They got already beat Detroit. They could wind up beating the Vikings twice. I don't know. On the surface, no, but we just don't know. Justin Fields is not a finished product, so we just don't know.
I think for me with this team, we know the Packers are good, really good. The Packers are really good. We know that. How good, though? We just don't know. They're going to go into another week where they're going to cruise past Washington. There's going to be no issues there. They're going to be 6-1, and then they're going to get into the teeth of that schedule.
Yeah,
and that is when we will really get our first. Early, still late October, so it's early in the season, but our first real kind of answers of what kind of judgments can be made.
Nobody is absolutely dominant right now in the NFL. Well, maybe Buffalo is probably playing as well as anybody.
Arizona
6-0? Is, yeah, 6-0. That was a big win in Cleveland. I guess you could probably put them, at near the top. But I don't think anybody's unbeatable, sort of like Tampa Bay was at the end of last year. I kind of feel like this will be an excellent, well, they still got to beat Washington. But when they wind up playing Arizona, that's going to be a nice matchup for the NFC, for people to see where people stand.
You almost wish it wasn't on a short week.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think about that. You'd like to see both teams have a full week to prepare for a game like that, two of the top NFC teams. But, then they'll have 10 days to prepare for Kansas City, and Kansas City will have a whole week. That'll be a pretty good game, too.
That will be. And, again, what this defense will do against those quarterbacks, I think that remains to be seen, and it'll be very fascinating to see if they can step up to that level or not. But as far as today goes, kind of just another run-of-the-mill Aaron Rodgers and this Packers team owns the Bears. No surprises there. Nothing new from either side. You're Chicago or Green Bay. You kind of know the score going in at this point. So make sure you stick to PackersNews.com for full coverage of another rivalry win for the Packers at Soldier Field. Until then, he's Tom. I'm Ryan. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.